In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let me tell you a story. There was once a pair of siblings, a brother and a sister. They were born and raised in a small town not unlike ours. They grew up learning the value of hard work and taking care of yourself, and how rude it was to stick your nose in the business of others and tell them how they should be taking care of themselves. When they grew up, they both knew that they wanted to help people like they were taught they should. So they both signed up for service, and they both were sent to places far from home, the brother to the coast, the sister overseas. The brother was out patrolling his boat one day when he got news from his superiors of a huge tsunami that was heading their way, and in just a few minutes it would wipe out everything in its way. So he revved his engine and headed towards that beach full of people enjoying themselves, completely oblivious to their impending doom. He raised his megaphone to his mouth, but right as he was about to speak, he thought, "Well, they probably won't understand me. I don't even know if they speak English. I'd just be shouting and looking like an idiot. They'll probably be okay anyway." And so he sped off to safety himself, the people none the wiser. Another day he was out in his boat again, far from shore. He came upon a party of people having a great time swimming off the side of their boat. As he pulled alongside, he realized that their boat was slowly sinking, without them realizing. He knew it was too far to swim back and thought about inviting them into his boat. He was about to say something, but thought, "Well, they're having such a great time, and they're happy as they are. I don't want to spoil that. Besides, maybe the boat isn't really sinking after all. I'm sure they'll be fine." So he waved and smiled reassuringly and motored away, not looking back. A few weeks later, a freak tornado was sweeping through the countryside, and he was sent to warn the people in town of the twister heading their way. The first place he came to was a home for the blind and deaf. He was going to head in to lead them down to the storm shelter, but then he thought, "Well, no matter what I say, I just won't be able to convince them of that tornado because they can't see or hear it coming. And if I just start leading them away, they might get scared and hit me. I could get really hurt, even just trying to get one of them to safety." So he went and found a safe spot for himself, hunkered down, and waited for the storm to blow over. Across the world, his sister had been sent to a war-torn land working in a hospital. She came into the sick ward with a tray full of medicine, a miracle cure for these dying patients. She was about to give it to one of them, but then thought, "This medicine is really bitter to take. Oh, this guy would probably spit it out anyway." So she didn't administer it. When the sick man asked about the medicine, she said, "Oh, you don't really need it. Don't worry about it." And she spooned him some more sugar instead and tended to his symptoms while he suffered. Later, she came across another patient flat on his stomach with a red and swollen, pus-filled, infected wound rising from his back, right where he just couldn't reach, no matter how hard he tried. She spotted in the middle of it a bloated tick that was undoubtedly the source of the infection. She was about to go and cut it out, but then thought, "Oh, that's going to hurt him and make him bleed. And I don't want to make him angry at me." So she moved on. Soon afterwards, the war ended. The country's evil dictator had been overthrown and a benevolent ruler had declared peace. The sister was sent out to tell folk to go and announce to the people who'd been hiding in these bomb shelters for a long, long time that the war was finally over. They were free. But as her hand was about to pull open that door for them, she thought, "Their life is going to be a lot different now. They'd have to take up an entirely new way of life, a whole new identity. They'd be citizens of an entirely different country. I don't want them to lose who they are. I know how uncomfortable and disorienting that change can be." So she let go of the door handle, turned, and left a whole people trapped, confined by darkness and fear. At the end of the brother and sister service, their superior called them to stand up before him for questioning. "Why didn't you help those people like you were recruited to? We equipped you, we sent you out with training and medicine, with messages of danger and peace, but you didn't deliver it. For God's sake, why didn't you?" And the siblings stood there dumbfounded. They had said and done nothing before, and they had nothing to say now. What do you think they deserve? Now, does this story make you a little uncomfortable? Does it make you angry? Just who do you think this story is really about? Now, if you got your pen still from last week, take just a minute and write down who it describes. But go ahead. It should only take a couple of letters. Now, what each of you could have written down were just the letters M-E. Has there not been a time when you could have opened your mouth to tell the truth about sin and the death it deserves, but didn't? Haven't you sealed your lips when you could have warned a friend about the end of the world and the judgment that we will all endure? Have you not been silent when a loved one was hurting and you knew that only Jesus could heal them, save them? Each of us has sinned in this way. Each of us must repent. Now, to be sure, no one will be going to hell because of you, because of what you say or because of what you don't say. God will never let any of his chosen slip from his hands. But if you never speak the message, the word, that confession that God has given you, if you refuse to open your mouth, you may very well end up be earning hell for yourself. But think about it. What would such an intentional silence or statement say about what you actually would believe? What would you be when you do this? When you're silent, or worse, when you make excuses for others? You would be a false prophet, denying God's truth, denying God's love, denying God's Son to others. As God spoke of those false prophets, they fill you with vain hopes. They speak visions out of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, "It shall be well with you." And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, "No disaster shall come upon you." But those are lies. You would confess with your silence and with your excuses that God doesn't really mean what he says, that sin doesn't really kill, that everyone will be just fine without forgiveness, without Jesus. By making excuses for yourself and for others for why they don't need to hear their sin called sin, or why they don't really need to ever make it to church or be part of the church, you yourself would speak as a false prophet. Does God not say, "Let him who has my word speak my word faithfully"? You would cover their sin with your lies instead of covering their sin with the blood of Jesus. You'd say, "You're really not that bad. You don't need Jesus." And so you would deny Jesus' cross, making his death in vain. You deny life to those who don't see disaster coming on the horizon. You deny life to the dying, keeping back from them the only thing that can cure them. You would deny freedom from fear, freedom from the darkness of this world, freedom from the evil kingdom of Satan. You would deny them the peace with God that Jesus has already won for them. By remaining silent, by speaking lies, you would deny Jesus, deny life himself to strangers. You deny him to friends. You would deny him to family, to your parents, your siblings, your children, to your spouse. You would deny Jesus to the very ones you claim to love. It's not love to spare them from Jesus. It's hatred. Now, you do this out of fear. Fear of rejection, fear of suffering. They might dislike you. that might scorn you, hurt you, you would do this out of fear of being treated like Jesus. To be sure, to speak the truth about Jesus will earn you suffering. Jesus says he'll cause division. Those who love sin and death will reject Jesus, who is life. You'll be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. I mean, make no mistake, Jesus, our God, dead on the cross, was that fire that he came to kindle on the earth. Jesus' cross cut sharp, stark lines between good and evil. It exposes our sin. It calls out sinners and false prophets for who they are. I mean, if we had no sin, why would Jesus need to suffer? If our need was not so dire, so absolute, why would God need to die? If there were no sinners, there would be no cross. But there are sinners. In your neighborhood, at your job, in your home, in these pews, and in your own shoes. If it were not for us sinners and false prophets, us liars and hypocrites, Jesus would not have been shamed and crucified. But Jesus was crucified, died and was buried for you. For exactly you sinners whom he loves. For you he endured the cross, despising the shame. For you, he endured rejection and hatred. For you, he arose from death and now lives forever. For you, his chosen. You, his beloved. For you, who were crucified and died with him in baptism. For you, who now live in him by faith, which he has given to you. For you, his family, his body. For you, to whom he has given the Holy Spirit with this message. A message for you and all sinners. Your fear? Your lies, your hatred, your shame, your hypocrisy are covered by my blood. All your evil is completely purged from you in my sight. I love you. I forgive you. Your doom, your disaster has been averted. I took the wrath of God upon myself so that you would not die, but live with me forever. I love you. I've saved you. The war is over. Your enemies are defeated forever. I've won peace for us all, a kingdom where no one can hurt you anymore. I love you. I've set you free. Here is your medicine. Here is your healing. Here is the cure for your wounds and your sin and your death. Come, eat and drink. I have more than enough for you and for all sinners. I love you. I'll heal you. This is your message. Jesus has already saved you by his cross. So come and receive the life he gives you. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We stand to sing.